Hello and welcome to this Twitter space, Brentford 2, Chelsea 2. Obviously, if you hadn't realised, it's me, Tom, speaking and not the score. It's the score's birthday today, so he's having a well-earned rest. So I'm jumping in his absence to talk through this Brentford draw for Chelsea. I've managed to avoid defeat at the G-Tech for the first time since 1938. Which at one point it looked like we might be heading that way. But yeah, we're here for obviously a Twitter space. I will talk you through the game briefly. I'll hopefully be joined soon. There he is. There's Rambles. So I'll be joined by him. We'll talk through it. He'll say his piece as well. And then we'll open up the floor to others who are welcome to speak on the game, give us your thoughts, ask any questions, and chat through just generally where Chelsea are at the moment. Obviously not a fantastic result today, but still managed to avoid defeat. So I suppose there are a few positives, but before we go into that, I'll just run through the game briefly. Obviously, took the lead through a really nice goal. Nico Jackson, a very, very nice header from a fantastic cross from Malo Gusto, having missed a pretty basic chance minutes before, so took the lead there. Went in at 1-0 at the break. Second half, unfortunately, Brentford were the better side for, well, certainly the initial first sort of 5-10 minutes, and they capitalised. Roslev getting on to the end of a little Reguilón poke, some very abject defending there from a few, should never really have had that much space, and was able to poke it through for Roslev. I think that was his first goal for Brentford for 2 years or something like that. And then it didn't really get much better for Chelsea, to be honest. Brentford again carried on in the same style, too much space and too much time, and they did score. Johan Visser with a little bicycle kick, after being given way too much space in the box. He tried it about four times early in the game, and he connected with that one and put it in, no chance for Petrovic. But we did get slightly better. A few changes came on, and we did start to capitalise finally. In the end, through a corner that probably shouldn't have been a corner, Flecken will regret giving that one away. Palmer puts in a good ball, and Axel Disasi tucks it away to make Chelsea, get Chelsea back level. And put the score at 2-2. So in the end, a point, as I say, avoided a first defeat at Brentford in any competition since 1938. But all in all, not another not great result for Chelsea. And I'm not really sure where that leaves us, especially, you know, with teams like West Ham and Newcastle winning today. But that's that. And that's where we're at. So, Rambles, what were your thoughts on that game?
One of my biggest gripes was actually with the starting lineup. I was really angry that Mudryk wasn't starting because he had a really positive game on Wednesday against Leeds, scores a goal, and then the next game he's on the bench again. Now, I just don't know how these players can be expected to develop when they have a good game and then the next game they're on the bench.
Yeah, that's been a bit of a frustration for quite a lot of this season, I think, with Mudryk. He's kind of had his moments, and when he's had his moments and scored important goals for the club, you know, talk about that Newcastle one in the League Cup, he's then not been able to find his way into the starting lineup for the next game. I think that's happened five or six times. Do you think that's a trust issue, Rambles, or do you think it's just, you know, Poch maybe not getting that one quite right?
I mean, certainly from what you hear, they seem to have a good relationship, and I think it might be Nizar Kinsella said Mudryk is Pochettino's project. You know, he's really working on him. I don't really know, to be honest with you. I was surprised that Chalobah was starting. I didn't think he was brilliant against Leeds. To be honest with you, I'm often baffled by some of the starting lineups. I don't know whether it's just PR which is coming out, and maybe there is some kind of issue with Mudryk. But certainly, everything you hear, Mudryk seems to have a very good attitude.
Yeah, I thought he played quite well in the week against Leeds. Obviously, he took his goal quite well and then couldn't find his way into the team today. It was the big talking point pre-match, I guess, was probably about whether, you know, we saw Ben Chilwell kind of moving forward into that left wing spot. As it turned out, it was more of a back three, which I suppose is what we've kind of spoken about a few times on the pod and things like that, that actually should Chelsea move to a back three. They did it today, and yet still defensively didn't look particularly solid. Is that the players themselves, do you think, or is it just, you know, what are the problems with Chelsea defence at the moment? Because we're leaking goals and set pieces are a real problem.
I mean, I've said the same for ages, and I said the same before we actually loaned before we loaned Mattson out in January. I never understood why Mattson didn't play at left back and Pochettino didn't try and go for a settled back four. Because I just think, you know, we're chopping and changing the defence, you know, week in, week out. One game Silva plays, then he gets in, you know, then he doesn't play the next game. Then the next game we're changing the centre back pairing. I think, you know, the best defences are defences which play the majority of games together, and they form an understanding. Whereas we're just seeing so much chopping and changing. And I think especially when the team is struggling as it is, we'd really benefit from having that settled back four. And yeah. And now we go into the next game. Will Silva come back in? Will he take Chalabar or De Sessi or Colwill out? For me, there's just far too much uncertainty. I think especially with the back four, that's the one area of the team where I do think you need some consistency in terms of personnel. When you look at Arsenal, you know 99% of games is going to be Gabriel and Saliba. Whereas with Chelsea, we just don't know who's going to play from one game to the next.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been a bit of a problem for a while. But you know, let's look at it from a slightly positive perspective before we kind of dig deep on yet another sort of average performance and more drop points. Was there anyone out there today who you were impressed with? Anyone who you thought had a good game?
I'm a big fan of Jackson. He does get a lot of stick, and I think unfairly at times. But he can be frustrating, and you know he'll miss easy chances, and he can be a bit petulant at times. But he does so many good things. He takes the chance. He takes difficult chances. And, you know, he never seems fazed by making a mistake. He can miss an open goal. Then, like, 5 minutes later, he'll score a brilliant goal. So he's very good at getting over what's just happened before. I think he's got a good attitude. And I think, is he on 11 goals in all competitions now? For his first season in the Premier in English football, playing for a struggling team, those numbers aren't too bad at all, really.
No. I mean, it was a weird game. So obviously, he missed a pretty easy chance, as I said, moments before he took his headed chance, which was obviously a fantastic ball from Gusto, which he then put away. But it's that consistency that we're obviously always talking about. When you're looking at Chelsea for next season, because you know obviously we're still not done with this year, but there's not a massive amount for us to look forward to. Are we looking at still? Who do you think we will want to have next year as our number nine? Is it going to be perhaps the guy we played against today, or is it going to be someone else? Or do you think we stick with Jackson? What's the kind of plan going to be, do you think?
From what I'm hearing, it sounds like it could be Osimhen. Osimhen seems to be the one which is being linked with most. I'd be very happy with Osimhen, but equally I'd be very happy with Tony. I think, you know, the advantage Tony has, he knows the Premier League, he's already playing in London, so he wouldn't need to... It would just be a straightforward move where we could settle in very quickly. But I would be very happy with either Tony or Osimhen.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about the striker situation?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very wary of... I think we need to sign a player who is Premier League ready, which is why I'm very much... I want Tony. He's the one I want, generally. I think he's obviously proven, perhaps more so last season than this year. He's not had an awful lot of games, obviously, due to his ban. But this year, last year, he scored 20 goals in the Premier League in something like 34 games or something. That's obviously for a Brentford side. I think that's a pretty outstanding record. He's got that kind of nous about him. He knows, you know, he wins free kicks when he needs to. And he's got a bit about him. I think he's got the attitude we need to kind of liven this team up. We've often spoken about how weak this team are mentally. And he's obviously at the right kind of age bracket to sort of have a bit of experience and come in. Because this team, let's be honest, there's too much youth in it. We speak about it all the time. We need to start signing a few players with a bit of experience. And I think Tony has that. But, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people talk about Osimhen. I personally don't know enough about him, I don't think, to really comment on him. But I just think we need to sign a player or two of Premier League quality and go from there.
I do really like Tony. He's got a bit of an attitude about him. You know, he's a bit of a shithouse, and we need someone with that kind of... We don't really have anyone like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, you think about the players who potentially could be like that, and it's probably, I don't know, De Sessi maybe a little bit. Cole potentially could blend into that. Someone like Mudrick's got a bit about him, as he showed against Leeds, and then really Jackson. But all of them are sort of... They're all quite young. I think we need more experience in the team for a start. I think that's absolutely crucial. And we need more Yeah, we need more nous. We need more nous. But anyway, that we can talk about that for hours, I think.
I do think Jackson will benefit from having another striker in because it will ease the pressure off him greatly. And he's one of these forwards. He probably is maybe even better playing in a wide forward position. So he's quite versatile. And I think having another striker in just kind of eases the pressure off him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Anyway, we'll kind of run through the game there. We'll obviously hear more from Rambles a bit later on as well. But let's get some speakers in there. Come and speak if you want to, or please say what you want to say. We've got Frank here, so let me just do that. And Frank, what are your thoughts on that game? And let me know what your thoughts are on more drop points. Or are you looking at it as a bit of a positive as not losing in the end? How are you feeling now?
Hey, Tom. Hey, thanks. So definitely disappointed. I mean, this feels like a loss more than just getting a point at the end of the game. That's just because you're playing a team that in the last 12 games before this game, they lost 10, only won 2, missing their whole back four, a lot of injury crisis. Mm. And because of the results of last week of the teams ahead of you that dropped a lot of points, you could have had this perfect chance to win this game and get close to the 6th, 7th place. But you come in here and then again, head scratcher from Mauricio Pochettino's approach to the game. Because why in the heck would you go to this game trying to be conservative, trying to be like, let me prevent goals instead of just going for the game against this struggling team? And so it was baffling. With that being said, the first half was, I think on the later stages, Chelsea should have been like at least 2 goals, up by 2 goals. Missed chance by Nicholas Jackson, but he redeemed himself with that wonderful goal. Everyone was playing good, but then again, the theme of the season, especially after Christmas, has been every time this team comes in from the second half, there is like something happens to this team like in between these halves that they just come into the second half and they're like just lost, you know. They don't know what they're doing, and then you can't do that. You can't do that in the Premier League. You can't do that in any competition. Again, disappointing. Great point, but it's usually when your team scores that late, you get like so excited. It was one of these times that I just looked at the TV. I was like, okay, so what? Get me a third one. Because it should have been a must-win game. I'm not sure why he started that way. I'm not sure why he's always scared not to lose. He reminds me of like some previous coaches with Chelsea. Just like, go for the win. This is the team set up for you right now. It's struggling, missing a lot of key players. It's just telling you to go win this game, but you just go sit down there and then try to come up with this, I'm just lost. I'm not sure if he's the answer, Pochettino. I don't think he's going to survive the summer, to be honest with you. As far as the positives of this game, I think 2 players for me personally has been Gusto, another great game. And then Caicedo, I know people like to talk about him a lot, like to criticize him a lot, but these tackles that he makes at crucial points of, it's just great. And I like that. I hope, I'm not sure. I mean, FA Cup is the only thing that I'm looking forward to be honest with you. I don't trust them to pick up themselves in the league and go up and challenge for those, spots, because they're just not ready for that. I'm not sure why. I believe the team is talented enough to be in the 6th, 7th place. I certainly believe the team is talented enough to dominate this game and win by like 3-4 goals. I know they missed some chances. Cole Palmer right there. That was a sitter there. But, still, we'll see. Thanks for the opportunity.
That's all right, Frank. Thank you very much for those thoughts. That was good. Got another speaker here, which is, let's approve that. And it's Jack, who hopefully will now be made into a speaker. There he is. So Jack, obviously not a great result for Chelsea once again, now sitting in 11th in the table, well, still sitting 11th in the table, but that gap now for 7th, obviously European spot, is now 6 points after West Ham's late winner today. Is there anything to salvage in the Premier League for Chelsea, or is that kind of season done and FA Cup is all we've got left?
Yeah, we might as well stop playing the Premier League games, in my opinion. It's no point. Well, there's nothing to achieve. Obviously not going to get relegated. Not going to get in Europe, most likely. So, yeah, got to fully focus on the FA Cup. Win that. See you in Europa.
Obviously, got Leicester at home in the quarterfinals, who lost today to QPR. So they're now being dragged back into a proper promotion battle when it looked initially like they were going to easily go up automatically. Does that, well, that will obviously benefit us. But in terms of the league, we've still got 12 games left. That's quite a lot of games. Last year, we kind of gave up quite early on. This year, obviously, there's still a chance of achieving something. But do you think it's time now to just play the young lads, stop playing people like Sterling, and just give people like Mudryk and Madueke a proper go and see if they're actually good enough with a proper run of games before we go into the summer and the transfer window again?
Yeah, 100%. To be fair, I think like Poch is almost at that stage now with Sterling, where he's not really starting any games that have any importance. I don't know. You still need to play. You need to get the players playing, and they need to learn how to play together, and rhythm is still important, and like progress as a team for next season and for the FA Cup as well. So I wouldn't just play the kids. But yeah, I think the whole point of having a young squad is that they take time to grow together and build something, and you see the progress and the point of that like in years to come, not immediately. So when there's nothing to play for now, might as well give them a run out. I do think though, like FA Cup obviously has to be the main focus, but we're never ever gonna win. We might beat Leicester, but there's still some obviously way better sides than us in the competition. And even if we get to the final again, do you back us to beat any of the teams that are likely to be there? Probably not. So it's not looking good. I would say on Sterling, one of my flatmates really isn't a fan of him at all. And whenever he comes on the pitch, he gets quite angry, actually. I don't know if that's I don't know what's going on with Sterling, really. Should he be anywhere near the team? His performances have just been pretty abject from the moment he came to Chelsea. It's a bit harsh, but it's kind of true. So yeah, I feel like maybe his time is done, and yeah, definitely should be playing players like Mudryk and Nonny over him, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think it's tough for a player to come back as well when they get booed. I was at the Leeds game and he got quite heavily booed. Apparently he's been heavily booed at a couple of home games recently. And I think when that happens, your time is kind of up. Your days at Chelsea are limited. I'm already seeing rumours of him going to Saudi Arabia. So that probably seems like that. But it kind of just feels to me like this is another season that's just kind of been a bit wasted. We sort of started off with a bit of promise. We brought in Pochettino. We had lots of new signings. But, you know, again, now we feel like we're going to be mid-table, probably trophy-less, and have to look at next season and build again in the summer. How many more windows are we going to have of this before we actually have a team that is capable of being slightly consistent and at least getting some form of European football?
To be honest, this is what it is for the majority of teams. They are just sort of... Well, the majority of teams are just hoping not to go down. And Chelsea are kind of getting towards that stage of where you try for a bit and then you realise you're not going to actually achieve anything great, and that's it. And then you just finish mid-table or bottom half. And we don't have a divine right to get back up to challenging for the league or even Champions League. So, I don't know. I mean, look at Arsenal. Arsenal had a period where they were nowhere near it for years. Liverpool as well, to be fair. We might just, sadly, for us, be in that phase right now. We've been pretty spoiled as Chelsea fans for our lifetime. Been pretty unbelievable, really, for the past 20 years. I guess now technically the second most successful club in England in that period, but we were first for a long time. So, I don't know, it's a shame. But if we are to have a period now where we don't really achieve that much for a number of years, then can't really be too unhappy with it. It's just the way that football is. It's cyclical. We'll come back at some point. But yeah, obviously in like a down moment as a club right now.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah, well, thanks, Jack. Ram, was you speaking there, mate?
But yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Going back to what someone said about the FA Cup, you know, on our day, we're still capable of beating any team. So, you know, if we, you know, it probably is unlikely, but if we play like we played in certain games this season, we could potentially win win a one-off cup game. But it's not looking likely at the moment, but strange things have happened.
Yeah, I think the big thing is, and I think we would expect to beat Leicester, especially at home. And as I said, now they're probably going to play a weakened side now that they're being dragged back into that race for automatic promotion. But it's quite frustrating because I just don't back us at Wembley. I think, as Jack said before, there's some good teams left in it. The draw means that a few of them will be out, but it's likely that City and Liverpool will still be there come the final four. And then we get one of them in the semis and you kind of think, well, are we going to beat them? Probably not. And if we do, we'll probably play the other one in the final, where obviously our record unfortunately speaks for itself, and having lost six in a row there. So yes. It's a tough one.
Yeah, Liverpool, Man City, obviously, but they're both going for treble and quadruple, respectively. Yeah, so it won't be easy.
No, it won't. I don't really know where we go from here. This is the problem, as I say, and Jack did say it, it's fair enough. We don't have a divine right to make, top four, top six. No club does. And that was the whole thing about the Super League that was crushed, rightly so, obviously, because, that's the beauty of football. It's cyclical. Things change. But, with the money we've spent, the squad we have, should we be where we are right now, Rambles?
I don't think we have a bad squad. Yes, we lack a bit of experience, and it's easy. We maybe shouldn't have signed one or two players we did, and we could have signed someone else. I suppose most fans and most clubs say the same thing. I think one of the biggest issues is the manager. I just think we need a manager in charge who the fans can get behind. Because when you fully get behind a manager and you can see what they're trying to do, then you can kind of back the project a bit more. When you have down moments like you are going to have early on, the fans get behind that manager. But sadly, for Pochettino, being ex-Tottenham, he was always on a hiding to nothing, I felt. His first bad period, they're always going to be fans. Well, I always thought fans would turn and say, well, he didn't win anything with Tottenham. You're a bottler and so on. And sadly, all those things have happened.
Yeah, it's similar to when Benitez came in, isn't it? In terms of, you're always going to be a bit of an upward struggle. You're going to struggle to get the kind of respect from the fans and the love from the fans that obviously managers had, and I think it's still difficult too under this ownership. After Tuchel was sacked, he was obviously very popular, for managers to come in and get instantly backed. Let's assume that we don't have Mauricio Pochettino in the dugout come the start of next season. Who would be the one you would want in the dugout, Rambles?
I'm a big fan of Ruben Amorim. I think he's just got everything Chelsea manager should have. He just feels like a good fit for me. Obviously, his preferred system is three at the back, and I think we have got the personnel to play his preferred system. He seems like a real motivator. He seems like he's got a good personality. I think he would come in, he would get the fans on side early on, and he plays very good football as well. And the job he's been doing with Sporting, when you think about the competition, Benfica and Porto probably have had stronger teams during his time there. He's managed to exceed expectations.
Yeah, well, obviously, Amorim himself plays three at the back, which is something that we've discussed before might suit us. But we've actually got a birthday boy here. The Score himself has joined. I've taken his role today of hosting. But the birthday boy's on. So what did you make of that game, mate?
Happy birthday, Score.
He's trying. Might have to come back to him. See if he can come back. We'll come back to the Score. He seems to be having some technical difficulties on his birthday.
Tom, what are your thoughts managerial-wise? Who would you like to see come in?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I don't know much about Amorim, I'll be honest. I know he plays three at the back. I know he's got a bit about him. He said his things about Mourinho, etc., being his inspiration. And I know he's obviously quite a charismatic manager, but I'm not sure. I don't know too much about him. I don't really know who we'd go for. I'm looking at some of the managers that are out there. Someone like, Nagelsmann seems like someone that this board might go in for, kind of a young manager who's obviously data-driven. I think that's what they kind of like. But in terms of who I'd like, I'd love someone like a proper passionate manager. Someone obviously similar mold to Tuchel. I wouldn't be averse to Tuchel coming back, although he is obviously struggling with Bayern. But someone of the mold of a Simeone. I don't know if Simeone himself would be remotely interested, but that's what I want, a passionate manager who can drive this team up. Maybe that is Amorim. I don't know much about him. I can't claim to watch much of Sporting, so I don't know. But yeah, I'm very much of the opinion that I'd be very surprised if come next season we have Pochettino there. And then I assume he'll get the rest of this season now, but maybe not if we go out in the FA Cup, who knows. But yeah, the score's back. We're going to try again and see if he can come on. Can you hear me now? Yes. Happy birthday, mate.
Thank you. Yeah, not so good with the football, but yeah. Otherwise, it's a great birthday. I've got a drink at the moment, so I'm drowning my sorrows. I think the result performance probably obviously wasn't great today. There has to be a new manager next season, but like I think there has to be more than that as well. There has to be a new structure. There has to be new people leading the football side, proper people, serious people. The owners have got to take responsibility. They've got to stop putting their own egos above the good of the club. They've got to take some tough decisions. In terms of who I would get as the manager, I'm with Rambles here. I'm a big fan of Amorim. He's got a lot of the kind of shithousery battler qualities that I like in a Chelsea manager. He's pragmatic, but also plays a modern kind of football. He's worked a lot with young players. It looks like all the data analysis on managers, young managers, is putting him very high. The other thing I think with Amorim is that he uses data a lot in terms of his team selections, and as such, his squads don't tend to get many injuries. Now, that's a big thing for us. I mean, imagine if we had a fully fit squad, right? I think we'd be a very different team. So, yeah, he's my first choice. I wouldn't be against Simeone at this point. He's a Chelsea manager. He's probably the most Chelsea manager who's never managed Chelsea, Simeone. It's amazing that he hasn't managed Chelsea already. And I know that, we've got a project. I almost don't care about the project at this point. Just get a proper Chelsea manager, get some proper players. No more kids. We've got enough kids to last a lifetime. Let's get some, people like Ivan Toney, Mark Guhi or what's his name? Max Kilman at Wolves. Some proven players that are just going to come into the team and perform immediately, right? And that takes the pressure off the younger players. So I know that this is so obvious that our genius sporting directors can't understand it. But, that's what we need to do. So, yeah, I mean, I think Pochettino was not long from the sack, to be honest. If we'd lost today, he might have got sacked. Mm. He's hanging on by the thinnest of threads, honestly. I don't know whether I hope he lost the season or not. I'm not sure if he will. I don't know. You can't tell with this team at the moment, honestly.
I think he could be gone very soon, Pochettino.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they might even sack him after this game. I mean, they might. Honestly, Brentford have only won 2 in 12.
Mm.
I don't know how many they'd lost in a row. It's embarrassing we should be having to scrape in the draw against them. It's embarrassing. And to be in front as well, and again come out in the second half we've won the game, I don't know what he does to them at half time, or after every break, whether it's half time or full time with extra time, whatever, it's the same every what does he do to them? I don't get it. So we need to start. If we're responsible, we're starting to plan for getting a proper sporting director in. To my mind, you give Michael Edwards a blank piece of paper and a blank check and just get him to write in whatever he wants, and let him make and get him in, and then get him to hire the next manager, and do the summer transfer window, because that's what we've got to do. We've got to show if they're as ambitious as they say they are, they've got to start showing it, because I'm not seeing it at the moment. And I've been a big supporter of these owners, and I can see what they want to do, but they're not executing it well at all, and they need to sort it out. And they're losing a lot of the fan base, if not all of the fan base. And they seem to be completely unaware of this. Their self-awareness is just incredible. They've got no self-awareness at all. They're just launched. We get all these self-congratulatory articles all the time, like they're these masters of the universe who've conquered football, and they've achieved absolutely nothing. They need to, have a bit of humility and say, you know what, we've got stuff to learn. Let's put some experts in place, proper experts, not from Brighton or Monaco, from proper people, and get this sorted out, because it's got to be sorted out. Chelsea have got to get better. So, yeah.
There we go. Yeah, absolutely agree with all of that, really. I think everyone's a bit fed up with it all. It's been going on for nearly two seasons, but things are always going to get better. And is that one of the things you think with a young squad? Is Amorim the guy for that, do you think?
Well, he's had a young squad at Sporting, I think. Yeah. He's developed a lot of young players. And actually, the one thing, he's used a lot of academy players. Like, he's not afraid to, do what Klopp does and give them opportunities. And I like that. I don't think he'd be so afraid to... He wouldn't be playing two goalkeepers so he can avoid playing an academy player. I don't think he'd be doing that. He's a lot braver than Pochettino. And Pochettino just isn't brave at all. He's protecting, he's safety first. So I feel let down by him, actually, because I really backed him, believed in him, liked him, but I just feel completely let down by him. So I've got to go in a minute, but because I've got to go and have my dinner. But it's good to see that this is still going despite my absence. But I will be back for the next game, hosting for the next game. I've forgotten what the next game is, actually.
Newcastle Monday night on the 11th.
Oh, crikey, at home. Oh, no, yeah. I might be going to that.
Yeah, he's at home.
I think I might be going to that, so I won't be hosting that one either. I will be on the show, but I'll be doing the kind of from the game thing. I'm on instructions not to host that show because they want me to go to the game. They want me to enjoy the game. So that was Louis's instructions. But the game after that, what's the game after that? I don't know what the game after that
game
is.
Game after that is... It's the FA Cup away game, isn't it? Leicester.
Leicester. Right, so I'll be back for that one, hosting for that one. And, of course, if something happened to Pochettino is sacked in the meantime, we will probably do a special show whenever that happens, if it happens. So we'll see what happens with that. That'll be an interesting one. But
indeed.
Yes. So thanks, everyone. It's good to see everyone here. It's good to see Rambles again, Tom, Frank, Falls of Chelsea, everyone, people I recognise. So I hope it hasn't ruined your Saturday, Chelsea, again. But I hope you have a good rest of the day. And thanks for the birthday wishes.
Cheers. Have a great birthday, mate. And speak soon.
Happy birthday evening, buddy.
Cheers. Take care, everyone. Take care,
mate.
Right, we've got a few other speakers in here, so Lucky Talk, if you want to come up and say your piece. What do you reckon on that game?
Oh, I'm stressed. Oh, good evening, everyone, man. I'm stressed, man. This match with the heat in Nigeria right now is not funny anymore, man. But it is what it is. First of all, I'm starting from the owners, because everybody's talking about structure and structure that and structure this. You can still sack Pochettino and bring in another manager, and they keep signing every 15-year-old that just played one for 1 week. And the same problem, inexperience, no ability to finish up chances. We can't score goals to save our lives. Like, these owners are supposed to be ashamed of themselves, because man, this is a team that you guys took over at the back of winning the Champions League, at the back of winning three trophies before you guys took over. And look at what that team is. Not up to 3 years. It's not up to 3 years. Look at where the team is in the Premier League table. And it's not going to be funny. I don't see Chelsea going above 10th this season with the way we are going. And this is not me being negative. this is me saying the reality, because you can never build a team the way these guys want to. We saw Roman came into Chelsea, went to Manchester United, took their director of football. That is the bold step. That is what is ambition. Ambition doesn't mean you getting 2-4 directors in a house and they cannot take any good positivity, any good choice for once. And not just that, the owners and the directors that they hired are even qualified. These are mid-table directors. These are directors that have worked in a team that is only meant to be selling their best talents. It's never going to work. Secondly, on Pochettino as a manager, I am not a fan of Pochettino, but I supported him because he's a manager of my football club, of the team I support. I supported him from the start, but the very day I said Pochettino out was Christmas Eve against Wolves. I saw Gary O'Neill, like, he was tactically awake and our manager was tactically blocked. He was just asleep. And this is a man that took over Wolves 1 week after the season or something. And a manager that had his pre-season, had his pattern of play sold to the players. And right now, we are not even looking like a team that spent $1 billion. This is mediocrity, man. This is Chelsea accepting to be a mid-table team. That is what it is right now. Brentford has lost 6 straight matches, if I'm not mistaken. 2 out of 16 or so. Look at where they are in the table. Look at what happened today. I don't know what Pochettino normally tells these guys after first half. Like, I don't know if he tells them that the match is over, we have won the match, you guys should relax, just pass the ball around. Because immediately the second half started, you would know the two teams who had a manager that is proactive. And Brentford played like a team that had real team talk in their dressing room. And we are playing like a shambles. We are just playing like children running around playing a charity football. And this is becoming, you guys, I'm sorry, I'm outside, man. This is becoming normal. It's becoming normal that every first half we play decent, second half we just switch off. And we concede schoolboys error. When I was in primary school and secondary school, if we concede that kind of goal, my game master will never play those two defenders for the next 10 matches. That is the kind of goals we are conceding. So, man, it's very appalling. It's very appalling because it's very shameful to open your mouth and say that this team is a team that is 1 billion worth of players.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a shame, and defensively it has been pretty abject for a little while. Well, thank you very much, Lucky Talk. Appreciate you talking, and I hope you can cope in the heat down there. But we've got one more speaker, and then we're going to wrap this up, and that is Forster Chelsea. So, anything to say on what we've already discussed in this space?
Good morning, everybody. I'm in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, so I had to wake up at 7 a.m. again and ruin my weekend, to be honest. And I'm tired at this point, man. I'm not going to give passionate rants. I'm tired. I feel like I'm DT from AFTV, but I'm sick of being right, bro. I don't want to be right on this. But the manager, this ownership, it's just mediocre, man. It's Spursy. It's so Spursy. It's so pathetic. There's no pride. There's no dignity, man. Imagine Roman Abramovich, for all of his flaws, you know, imagine him accepting something like this. He would have sacked Poch back in December. He would have sacked him in November. And you know, there's quotes going around, the famous Mourinho quote, when you start accepting things about something about playing well or whatever. Not that we are playing well, but this is the reality. As the gentleman before me said, excuse me, this is the reality, and we are a mid-table team. We are absolutely a mid-table team. Could a top manager get more out of these players? Probably. But the combination of the players, the ownership, and the manager, it's mid-table. It's mediocrity. And I don't know where we go from here. I don't think a few Abramovich chants or Boehly out chants are going to do anything. I think these are stubborn, hard-headed, commercialized owners. And I don't mean to be negative again, but I don't see where we go from here. I don't see things coming back. I see another half decade of mediocrity. It's been three seasons from a Champions League winning team to being ripped up top to bottom to be sitting in, what, 11th place? Like, this is disgusting. The manner that we lose some of these games when they matter, like the League Cup final, you know, some nonsense about us playing good against good teams. Nah, man, we're a very, very pathetic team. There's nothing I like about this group of players. There's nothing I like about this club at the moment. It's sickening, man. I supported this club for 15 years as an 11-year-old and to date, but this is rancid. Can somebody bounce off of me? Tell me I'm not going insane. Like, what do you guys think, man?
Yeah, it's go on, Rambles.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with a lot of what you said. You know, it does feel like it does need to be some big decisions made in the summer. I think there's a few players who do need to be moved on for various reasons. And I think in the summer, the sporting director's position should be reviewed because ultimately they're responsible for the majority of signings. And they also play a big part in the managerial appointments. Yeah. So I do think we do need to make some changes. But I do think there's a lot of quality in the squad. I think as far as the squad goes, we just need a few tweaks. And if we get the managerial appointment right, I don't think we'll be that badly off.
Yeah, I agree. That's where we're at the moment. Anyway, we're dragging on now, so we're gonna end it there. But thank you very much to everyone for listening, for speaking, and just for, you know, taking part in another space after another disappointing result. I guess at least it's not a loss. But yes, as the score said, he's not going to be back hosting. I don't know who is next week for the Newcastle game, but he will be back hosting his own show after the FA Cup quarterfinal. On the 16th of March. So obviously we'll be back for the Newcastle game. And as we said, if Mauricio Pochettino is gone, which, you know, we have no idea if he will be or what, if anything like that happens, I'm sure there will be a space on that too. But yeah, thank you very much for listening, guys. And have a good weekend, rest of the weekend. Hope it didn't ruin it. And things will always get better. But yeah, up the Chelsea and see you later.
Take care, guys.
Take care, guys.
See ya.